Today's reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, or rulers, or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Thank you. So, I brought with me today some of my recycling. I've got some tin can. I've got some cardboard. What else have I got in here? I've got some yogurt pots. Ah, yes, the yogurt pots. My husband, David, always laughs at me when I'm washing these out. He says, "Rosie, there is so much plastic in the world. Greenhouse gases are increasing all the time. There's rubbish everywhere. It takes loads of energy and effort to recycle a little plastic yogurt pot. What is the point? In the face of all of that, what difference is my little plastic yogurt pot going to make?" Is he right? Does he have a point? Well, maybe he's got a point, but, you know, for me, even a little plastic yogurt pot somehow seems important, doesn't it? Because Jesus cares about creation. And if Jesus cares, then so will I. All right, we should have some slides up somewhere, hopefully. Brilliant. I don't know what you think about when you think about the environment. It seems to be in the media all the time at the moment, doesn't it? Climate change. We hear about that a lot on the news. The UN's IPCC released their report recently that said that climate change is widespread, rapid, and intensifying, and some trends are now irreversible. That report was branded a code red for humanity. That's before we get on to the use and disposal of plastics, which cause such a problem, decrease in biodiversity around the world, the decline in the number of pollinators, including bees. Climate change and these issues of the environment affect all of us, don't they? And sometimes when we think about that, it feels quite scary, actually. Overwhelming. Does anyone else feel helpless in the face of all of this? There's a kind of creeping sense of dread and horror. And of course, the easy option is to stop thinking about it, because really, what use are my yogurt pots? Tear Fund recently conducted a survey of Christian teenagers in the UK, and they found that 9 out of 10 were concerned about climate change, but only 1 out of 10 think their church is doing enough about it. Maybe you're in that 9 of 10 who think, actually, the church doesn't seem to be doing much. Maybe God doesn't seem to be doing much. And maybe that's making you feel frustrated and even angry. Well, I've got some good news for you this morning, because actually God does care. He sees this and he does care. One of the participants in the research said this. It might be a bit too small for you to read. They said, "Sometimes you do want to shut the door and not talk about it anymore. That's the easy option. But I think as I've grown more in my faith, learning more about what the Bible says about stewarding what God's put in our hands and the world he's placed us in, it's really challenged me not to let those walls build up, but to keep having those conversations, no matter how tough or tiring. So friends, this is my prayer this morning, that God would show us something of his heart for his creation, and that that would inspire us and challenge us. So I've chosen as our passage this morning Colossians 1, which is one of my favourite passages about Jesus. I can still remember where I was the first time I read it. I was about 14, and I'd been brought up as a Christian, and I knew Jesus. I'd given my life to Jesus by that point, and I knew the Jesus of the Gospels quite well. I knew about Christmas and Easter and the stuff that happened in between. And then I read these verses, and my mind was blown about who Jesus is and what he's done. So I hope that this morning, as we explore them, your vision of who Jesus is will be expanded as well. We're going to look at four aspects of who Jesus is from these verses, and then think about what that means for us. So first of all, Jesus, the Creator. Colossians says the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. We can't see God the Father, but Jesus shows us what God is like. The firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created. Wow. We've already looked a little bit at Genesis this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before that, there was nothing. As one of our children's Bibles puts it, I'm a bit of a fan of children's Bibles at the moment. Think of dark. Make it darker. That's what there was at the beginning. In the beginning, there was nothing but dark. But out of the darkness, God created. This picture here is from the Hubble Space Telescope, and it shows us some of the galaxies and stars that God created such a long time ago, way before humans were made, before animals, before plants, before single-celled organisms. It's beautiful, isn't it? In the beginning, God created. But of course, before that, God was there. And not just God the Father, but God the Spirit hovering over the waters. And God the Son, as we learn in Colossians, Jesus was there at the beginning, and he was instrumental in creation. When God spoke, creation came into being. And of course, one of the names for Jesus is the Word of God. So I love this idea that when God spoke his word, Jesus created. It's beautiful. So we read in Colossians that Jesus was instrumental in creating everything, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, the stuff we can see, the stuff we can't see, the stuff that science has discovered that Paul, writing Colossians, didn't even know about, the stuff that science will discover in the future that we don't even know about. All of this was made through Jesus and for Jesus, for his glory. And that is fantastic. And it was good. Very good. Paul has already shown us this morning that when you've made something really good, you care about it. Paul cared about his cake. How much more does Jesus care about his creation? And if Jesus cares, so will I. Let's look at Jesus the Sustainer. Jesus is before all things, as we talked about, and in him all things holds together. Jesus is the one who keeps creation going. He keeps gravity pulling. He keeps the water cycle cycling round. He keeps the food chain connected so that it all holds together. God brought order and balance out of the formless darkness. And I think part of Jesus holding all things together is maintaining that order and harmony in the universe, that order and harmony that was part of God's original design. We as humans were told to do something similar back in Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. And then that gets unpacked a bit more. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So as humans, we have a huge amount of power and influence over creation. We're told to rule over it. But it's really clear, isn't it, from Genesis, that we're not to lord it over creation and exploit that power, because we're to work the garden and take care of it, take care of creation, tend to it like a gardener does the garden. We tend to use the word stewards to kind of encapsulate that idea. That's what stewarding creation means, looking after it in the way that God has commanded us to. So as humans, we have great authority and power, but also great responsibility to care for the creation that God has made. Jesus, I think, tends for creation, cares for it, sustains it in a way that we as humans have failed to do. That started in Genesis chapter 3, didn't it? God's wonderful creation didn't last long before Adam and Eve disobeyed God. He had commanded them, he had told them, you can use the produce of creation, you can eat from any seed-bearing plant or tree, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what did they do? They disobeyed God and ate from the one tree he told them not to. And at that point, the relationship between God and humankind was broken. But it wasn't just the relationship between God and humankind, it was the relationship between God and the rest of creation. Now, I realized this morning that this is far too small for you to read. What that says is God is at the top, humankind is at the bottom, and the non-human creation is up there as well. The relationships between all of those were broken at the fall. But, as you know, the story didn't end there, because Jesus is also the reconciler. Let's look again at Colossians. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, so the whole of God is in Jesus. And through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, things in earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus' death reconciles us to God, doesn't it? It reconciles us as individuals to God, and we celebrate that, and rightly so. It is right to celebrate that Jesus' death has reconciled me as an individual to God. But Jesus' death achieved so much more than that. All things on earth and in heaven are reconciled to God. Oops. So all of these relationships can be healed. Many of you will know John 3:16. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, I think. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I'm going to teach you a Greek word this morning. I don't know many Greek words, but I know this one. The word for world is cosmos. You probably know that word too, because it gives us our English word, cosmos. Now, the word cosmos in Greek can mean people, but it can also mean the universe, which is the sense that our English word cosmos has. But apparently, and I didn't know this, the word cosmos has a sense of order, and it's the opposite of chaos. So you've got chaos, which is also a Greek word, and cosmos, cosmos being the order. So I think a good translation of cosmos might be created order. For God so loved the created order, the created universe, that he gave his only son. Isn't that a fantastic verse to ponder? So I marvel at God's love for me. And I marvel at God's love for Sue. And I marvel at God's love for Wanyu and for Jeffrey and for everyone in this room. But I also marvel that God loves the cosmos. We read in Romans 8 that the whole of creation is frustrated and groaning, waiting for salvation. And the whole of creation is in this kind of now and not yet, the same as we are. Jesus' death and resurrection has overcome death and decay. And yet we're still waiting for the fulfillment of that. We're waiting for Jesus' return, when he'll bring liberation and freedom and glory to the whole of creation, as Romans 8 explains. I was thinking about this. What does a liberated bee look like, do you think? I can kind of imagine one buzzing around really excitedly and happy because of Jesus. What about a moth-covered rock that's no longer in bondage to decay? My little brain can't compute that. I don't know what that would look like. But I do know that Jesus is ushering in a new creation. He is recreating. The new creation starts now and will continue. When Jesus returns, the world will be transformed. It will be clothed with immortality, as 1 Corinthians 15 puts it. You see, we're not going to be whisked off to some other world when Jesus returns, because he's recreating this one. Everything that is opposed to God will be destroyed, but everything that has been reconciled to God through Jesus will be clothed with immortality, just like a cloak going over something. God so loved the cosmos that he gave his only son. He is completely invested in saving this world. And so if Jesus cares for creation, so will I. There's one verse that we missed out, which is Jesus the leader. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Humans were given authority over creation back in Genesis, but Jesus has supreme authority over all of creation, and that includes authority over us, his church. And so where Jesus leads, we need to follow, don't we? Which brings me again to this point that if it's important to Jesus, it's important to us. If Jesus cares, so will I. So what? Well, the wonderful challenge is that Jesus calls us to work with him, to care for, because Jesus will ultimately save his creation. So what can we do? Well, I hope that first of all, reading these verses together this morning has expanded your vision of who Jesus is and what he's done. And that will lead you to thank him for his death on the cross, which allows us to be reconciled with God and all of creation to be reconciled with God. We're going to have a chance to do that in a moment when we share communion together, which is really great. I also hope that this will give you hope. Often when we think about the environment and climate change, it's easy to feel despair, I think. It's easy to see all of the bad things and all of the mess that humans have made and to think, oh dear. The target was to keep global temperature rise below 1.5 degrees C, wasn't it? I don't know about you, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. And it's easy to feel despair about that. But actually, we are not to feel despair as Christians, because Jesus has reconciled the world to God. And what Jesus has started, he will accomplish. Okay? So we don't despair. But we do need to repent. Us humans have messed up our planet. And we all have responsibility for that, either directly. Human greed and selfishness and exploitation have led directly to some awful effects on the environment, but also indirectly through our lack of care and our lack of tending to the creation that God has placed us here to look after. So I think we need to mourn over the state of the world and repent of our part in bringing it to this point. But also we need to act. Repentance leads to action, doesn't it? And there are so many actions that we could take in this space, so I've just picked a few. I think we need to pray. We need to pray that God will complete the work that Jesus has begun. We need to pray for our environment. Pray when you hear about climate change in the media. Pray for COP26, and thank you, Neville, for leading us in prayer this morning. Join us at the prayer hub on Tuesday evening, where we're going to be praying about a lot of these issues. Pray for God's creation, because he cares about it. It's important, so we need to be praying about it. Campaign, petition, write to your MP, particularly in the run-up to COP26. I think there's a lot of space for political action. Tier Fund are running a great campaign at the moment. If you don't quite know where to start with this, I do recommend that website. I'm going to put the link in the Thursday bulletin this week, where you can sign a petition which is going to our leaders in government ahead of COP26. We live in a democracy, don't we? So let's make our voices heard. And then please recycle your yogurt pots, definitely, but think about the big ticket items as well, the ones which are possibly going to make a little more difference than a couple of yogurt pots. So transport, fuel, food. I know some of you in this building are vegetarian or vegan because of the effect that meat production and dairy production in particular have on climate change. In our household, I can't quite see how that would work, but we've massively reduced the amount of red meat that we eat, for example, because of the greenhouse gas emission associated with that. Lots of people try not to drive or don't drive at all, which is great. It might be that you can't drive because you don't have any petrol. Excellent. And of course, flying has a huge impact on climate change. And no one flew at all last year, I don't think. So excellent. That's good too. But do think about these things. I'm not saying never fly again, but think about it. When you're next planning your holiday, think about where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. I would challenge you today to courageously ask God, what change does he want you to make to your lifestyle to show your care for creation? So imagine with me. Imagine what Northwood Hills would look like if we all cared for creation as much as Jesus does. There'd be a lot less litter on the streets, wouldn't there? I quite like the trees down the middle. I don't think they're quite looking as green and leafy as this at the moment, but they would be buzzing with bees and butterflies, and there might even be some birds nesting in them. The big thing I noticed from this photo, I don't think there'd be as many cars. Imagine what that would be like. Imagine, look forward to that day when Jesus returns, when the whole of creation will sing God's praises and the world will be returned to that balance and order that God designed it to have. So let us all join with God's work to bring that day here, to bring order and harmony to the world and care for it as God does. Because if Jesus cares, so will I. We're going to spend a couple of minutes now in quiet reflection and prayer as we think about how God is asking us to respond. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your beautiful creation. We thank you for the wonderful things you've made. And we thank you for the authority and the responsibility that you gave us as humans. Heavenly Father, we are so sorry that we have failed to tend to your creation, to steward it as you commanded us. Let's just take a moment to repent of the times we've failed to do that. Please forgive us. Thank you for Jesus and his death. Thank you that we are reconciled with you so that we can be friends with you again. Thank you that what Jesus achieved on the cross goes beyond our imagination. Thank you for your immense love for the whole universe. Thank you that you are reconciling the whole of creation to you. Please show us how you want us to change. inspire us, motivate us. And Heavenly Father, please bring us to that day when all of creation will shout your praise for your glory. Amen.